I know I started a series of teaching in April during the Children's Day. I said we will continue. And the topic was living in God's love. And we are going to part two today. Revealing God's love to others. Let's all say it together. Revealing God's love to others. Yes, we have to reveal the love of Christ to others because God has saved us by His grace. He has saved us. He that brought us out from a mere clay, we are nothing then, but He has made us to be something. Because the Bible says in the book of John 3:16, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. So God started that exemplary life for us to show His love, to reveal His love to others. He started doing it because He gave us His only Son. And Jesus Christ gave Himself for us. His love does not have condition. His love is unfailing. Somebody that can give His only Son to us, to the whole world. And the Bible says, while we are yet sinners, Christ died for us. When we think deeply as a thinker, we will see that He loves us so much. He gave us a sacrificial love. God loves us sacrificially by giving Jesus Christ, His only Son. And Jesus Himself gave His all for all of us, including me. He gave Himself to the whole world. So, if Christ can give Himself to you and I, and went on the way to the cross, all the way to the cross, you see the humiliation. You see how they humiliated Him and how they put crowns of thorns on His head. Before He got there, they gave Him a lot of whips, stripes, and blood was gushing out. He wasn't thinking about Himself, but He has come to fulfill the will of the Father. And He went all the way. Sorry, my children are going to their class. Let's give them 1 minute. His love to others. You see, this week, this Friday, our women's conference. No, God loves us so much. He's just making provision for us to be able to have revelation, to be able to grow deep into his root. Because when we let our root grow deep into Him, there will not be any disability to be able to reveal God's love to others. We will show love. Even if people step on our toes 10 times, even though in the flesh it may seem difficult, but the Bible says, with God, all things are possible. There is nothing that is impossible with our God. He has given us the ability. So our text is 1 John 4:7-11. 1 John 4:7-11. I will read it from here. I will read in the NLT. Dear friends, let's continue to love one another. For love comes from God. God is the foundation of love. Love comes from God. When He gave His only begotten Son, in the beginning, in the book of Genesis, God created everything that we need to live this life in His will. He made the sea, He made everything, and He now made us in His image. That is the love of God for us. And when we now came to the New Testament, He now gave us His only Son. Let me continue reading. Anyone who loves is a child of God and knows God. But anyone who does not love does not know God. Because when we don't love, we don't know God. We don't understand into depth the love that He has for us. So for God is love. God showed how much He loved us by sending His one and only Son into the world so that we might have eternal life through Him. This is real love. Not that we love God first. We don't love Him. But He gave Himself for us. He gave His Son to us. And Jesus gave Himself for us. But that He loved us. And He sent His Son as a sacrifice to take away our sins. Dear friends, my brothers and my sisters, since God loved us that much, we surely ought to love each other. No one has seen God, but if we love each other, God lives in us. And his law is brought to full expression in us. See that those verses is full of a lot of things. So he's telling us, dear friends, that we should continue to love one another. He knows that somebody will annoy us. He knows that offense will come. He knows everything. Because offense came when they gave him untruthful charges and they nailed him to the cross. He prayed for them. He prayed for them because they are making the Father's will to be fulfilled. He was praying for his enemies. So you see how God loves us. He loves us so much that he wasn't even caring about his life. He gave his life to us. So now, how do we now reveal God's love to each other? How do we reveal God's love to each other? I want us to start reading the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 13. Before we read that, I want to read this. Colossians 2, 9 to 19. Because when we give our life to Christ, that we know God and understand him, you know, into depth, have a deeper revelation of him when we receive Christ, he changed us totally. He changed our spirit man. Even though our soul, he will begin to work on our soul with the way we fellowship as we are hearing in the General Sunday School. When we continue to fellowship with the Word of God, when we continue to be deeply rooted in him, the Word will now start working on our soul day by day. Day by day. He will be making us to conform to his Word, to conform to his image. So I will quickly read that Colossians 2, 9 to 19, NLT. For in Christ lives all the fullness of God in human body. He's telling us that in all the fullness of God in Christ lives in us as human body. That is when we give our life to Christ. So you and I also are complete through our union. He said through your union with Christ. Through our union with Christ, when we know him, when we give our life to Christ, when we give our lives to him. And who is the head over every ruler and authority? When you came to Christ, you were circumcised. When we came to Christ, we were circumcised. Not the physical circumcision. Said, but not by a physical procedure. Christ performed this in our heart. He performed this in our spirit man. Christ performed a spiritual circumcision. The cutting away of your sinful nature, of you and I, of our sinful nature. For you, we are buried with Christ when we go through that baptism. We are buried with Christ when you were baptized. And with him, you were raised to new life because you trusted the mighty power of God. Because we trusted God, when we were buried with him, we are raised together in newness of life. So we have to, it's something that we have to believe. We have to accept it the way it is, the way Christ wrote the word. Because there are words of Christ, we have to take it, you know, like our spirit man has to latch on it. Our spirit man has to accept it. There is no controversy. Jesus Christ is Lord. We don't have to be questioning, oh, why is he Lord? He is Lord. We just take it like that. He said, Christ is Lord, and we accept it like that. So now, who raised Christ from the dead? You were dead because of your sin. Both you and I, we were dead because of our sin. And because your sinful nature was not yet cut away, then God made you alive with Christ, for he forgave you and I our sins. He canceled the record of the charges that were against us. He took it away. Past tense. He took it away. It's not that he's going to take it away. He took it away. By nailing it to the cross, see what Jesus Christ did for us. I want us to have that in-depth understanding. In this way, praise the Lord, he disarmed the spiritual rulers and authorities.
He shamed them publicly by his victory over them on the cross. So when we believe, when we understand this, even though our soul may bring forth stuff that is not in line with the word of God, that is when thoughts will come. There is nothing we can do about it. The thoughts will come. But now, how do we now undo those thoughts? That is why the Bible says we bring every thought to the knowledge and the obedience of Christ. That is the word of God. So when Christ did all this for us, that he performed a spiritual circumcision, not the physical one, by what he did for us at Calvary and the way we have that understanding and that deeper knowledge and revelation that we need Christ and then we surrender it all to him. And now, he said he disarmed whatever authority, whatever spiritual darkness, whatever it is that is now battling with our soul. We have to make sure that the word of God, that is God himself, that became flesh, Jesus Christ, we have to make sure that we make this word our bosom friend. You know, bosom friend, when you see bosom friend, they are always together. They do things together. So we make this word our bosom friend because God is calling us friends, as we read in that 1 John that we just read. 1 John 4, 7, to say, dear friends, he's calling us friends. So we have to understand this, that God in Christ has performed a spiritual circumcision in our lives. And we have to make sure that we align our life with the word of God, making this word our day, because the thought will come. Immediately we wake up from the bed, the thought will come. Those thoughts will come. But now, how do we now undo those thoughts? So we have been dead. I'm reading further to verse 20 of Colossians 2, 9 to 19 that I just read. You were dead with Christ, and he has set you free from spiritual powers of this world. He has rescued us from all the spiritual works of darkness. So now, when we believe that, we now start going because he has given us, the Bible says, everything that pertains to life and godliness, he already provided for us. And he wants us to love as he has loved us. He began that. He showed that example. It started from him. So God is our living example. God and Jesus Christ, his son, is our living example that showed forth love to us, the whole universe. He showed his love to us by giving us Jesus Christ. And Jesus Christ gave himself for us. So how then do we now reveal his love to others? Now let's start that 1 Corinthians. Because God has commanded us in this 1 John that we just read that we have to love. We have to live in love. We have to live in love with each other. Now, love is patient and kind. Love is not jealous or boastful or proud. So now, in our interaction with the day-to-day, as we interact with each other in the church, in the outside world, in our homes, in our place of work, at school, our youth, as we go to school, how do we now bring forth, how do we now show love to each other? Because we have to reveal the love of Christ to other people. As Christ loved us, as God has loved us, we also, we ought to love one another as he has given us a command in that 1 John. He's saying that love is not boastful. Love is not jealous. Love is patient. So now patience. Do we exercise patience in dealing with each other? How do we react when people step on our toes? How do we react maybe when your spouse does something to us? How do we react when our children do things that are not right? Because sometimes they may, all of us, sometimes we make mistakes. Sometimes we do stuff that after doing it, we now realize, oh, that thing, the way I handle that thing, I'm not supposed to do it that way. So, but now, how do we now relate to each other? Say, love is patient and and this is shown to us by our Lord Jesus Christ. He's so patient. You know, when we go to the book of love is patient. You saw, when we go to the book of John, John 8, 1 to 11, I want us to read the story of the woman that was caught in adultery. Let us read. Jesus returned to the Mount of Olives. But early the next morning, he was back again at the temple. A crowd soon gathered, and he sat down and taught them. And he was speaking. The teachers of religious law and the Pharisees brought a woman who had been caught in the act of adultery. They put her in front of the crowd. Teacher, they said to Jesus, this woman was caught in the heart of adultery, as if they should just kill it and kill her. The law of Moses says to stone her. What do you say? Because they want to see how he will respond. They were trying to trap him into saying something they could use against him. But Jesus stooped down and wrote in the dust with his finger. They kept demanding an answer. So he stood up again and said, very patiently, tolerating everything, all right, but let the one who has never sinned throw the first stone. Can you go for it? Then he stooped down again and wrote in the dust. When the accusers heard this, they slipped away one by one, beginning with the oldest, until only Jesus was left in the middle of the crowd with the woman. Can you go further, please? Then Jesus stood up and again said to the woman, where are your accusers? Didn't even one of them condemn you? No, Lord, she said. And Jesus said, neither do I. Go and say no more. You see that story? It shows a lot of example that Jesus Christ exemplified to us. He shows us how he's so patient and tolerant, understanding and diligent. He knew the thought of their heart. But Jesus Christ is so patient and so kind. And he answered them. None of them was there. They all left. Because he said, if any of you, if you know you have not been saved, can you just throw the stone? Nobody could do that. So now, my brothers and my sisters, how do we undo? How are we kind to each other? If somebody steps on our toes, maybe in one of the ministry, we are having meeting or we are discussing about something to do, and everybody, because everybody has the right, they have the ability to input their decisions, to input their own advice or whatever we want to do as we are making that decision. And then as we are making the decision, everybody is trying to, let me suggest this, let me suggest that. Now, maybe now, you, your own suggestion, you want your own suggestion to rule over everybody. And now, we are not showing kindness by doing that, because we have to allow other people to hear their own, let them give their own suggestion. And now, by the way, God will now help us to now make a decision by the Holy Spirit. We now make a decision on that thing. So now, in our day-to-day life, either we are in our places of work or we are in our homes, how do we exemplify patience? Because the Bible says love is patient. That 1 Corinthians, can you put it on, please? That we just started reading that verse 4. Love is not jealous. Are we jealous? Are we envious of each other? You see, Christ, the woman left because nobody had said, go and see no more. Because God, so kind. Husband and wife, how do you undo when things comes up? Are we patient? Are we kind? He said, love is not jealous. It's not boastful. It's not proud. What do we have to do with pride? If God can give us Jesus Christ, his only son, and if Christ can go all the way to Calvary and go through, and he went through all this pain for you and her, and thank God, to God be all the glory, he's risen. He's no longer on the cross. Why can't we not be patient with each other? This life is one life. It doesn't have a duplicate. Even if you are kind and patient with other people, you will see how cool your life will be. You won't have any stress. People will just be looking, because the Bible says it's going to renew our youth like an eagle. You will just begin to be. You will just remain like you are just 15 years old. And people will just be looking, oh, so you are 60 years old. You don't look like that. Because you don't allow anything to stress you. You are patient. You are exercising. You are living in patience with other people. You are kind. You are not jealous. Because the Bible says we should weep with those who are weeping. We should rejoice with those who are rejoicing. You see your neighbor or your friend or one of the church members buy a new car. Rejoice with them. Even if you don't have your own car, even if it's you are working with them, you are taking Uber, you are taking whatever. God will do your whole. So because God works with us in his own timing. So whoever is rejoicing, let's go together and rejoice with that person. Let's be kind to each other. Because this life that God gives us, that is the way he wants us to live. That's why sometimes you have headache because you are stressed out, you are always jealous, you are full of anger, you are so proud, nobody can give you, maybe nobody can correct you. It shouldn't be that way. You see how Jesus Christ calmly, patiently, in a kindful manner, and he took care of that thing. That is the same way God wants us to relate with each other. He wants us to be kind because Jesus Christ showed calmness in that story, in that passage that we just read. So God wants us to allow, through the power of the Holy Spirit he has given unto us, to be patient with everyone around us, our children, our co-worker, our spouses, our anywhere we are, even when we are driving. Even when we are driving, you know, you must get into it. Sometimes when people just drive, you know, like recklessly, when I'm driving, I will just look at them. Sometimes my flesh will want me to say something. Sometimes I will say a little bit, why are you driving? Why are you driving like this? Sometimes when I kiss her in the car, I will tell her, I say, listen, I'm not supposed to say that. I'm just supposed to just be patient and just walk and look at them as if I'm not seeing them. Because when you see the way some people drive, they will just cut you on the side. So you see, God, let me tell you something. There is nothing we can do about it. We have to live at peace. We have to reveal the love of Christ. Even while driving, because you have other drivers. You know, when we went for 5 hours class, they will tell us, you make sure that you are concentrating on yourself. Don't look behind you. Don't look at the people. You just make sure that you are careful because you don't know other drivers. And careful, and as you are careful, you'll be kind. You calm yourself down. And you just drive the way you can drive. Sometimes my kids will tell me I'm driving too slow. I say, let me drive slow. It's better for me to drive slow. It's better for me to drive slow. So God wants us to show love to each other. Also, before the crucifixion of our Lord Jesus Christ, he prayed for his enemy. You can see that in Luke 23:34. He prayed for his enemy. Please give me time. Okay. Maybe I will just, you can write it for me and let me know when I'm going to end. So we have to bless those who curse us and pray for those who hurt us. There is nothing we can do about it. People will hurt us. People will step on our toes. I'm telling you, because we know ourselves and God knows us. But other people, they can do stuff. Sometimes some people do stuff, they don't even know that they have hurt us. They just do it in their best understanding, their best ability. So we have to be patient. Sorry, can we put it back on that 1 Corinthians that we are continuing reading? Love is kind. We have to show kindness. Another way that we can show for the love of God is to be kind. And kindness is goodness. It's goodness. God is kind to all his creature. It manifests through his grace. When we go to Psalm 145 verse 9. Can you continue with that 1 Corinthians? Please go to the next verse. It doesn't demand its own way. It's not irritable. It keeps no record of being wrong. When somebody wrong us, you know, some people can, they may wrong you maybe like in a week. They may wrong you. They may do something that you don't like. Maybe like 5 times or 6 times. Do you think you have to be going to them and be telling them, oh, you did this to me. You did this to me. Oh, yesterday you did this to me. 2 days ago you did this to me. And we start going. How do you think that person will feel when you go all over like 5 or 6 times for the week and you are telling that person, this is what you did for me. This is what you did for me. So you see, as a believer, as a redeemed child of God, we can't go and be, you know, confronted, you know, like a confrontation and say, you did this to me, you did this to me. It's not healthy. It's not healthy physically, it's not healthy spiritually. Because when you go, you yourself, you are putting yourself into that negativity because you are confronting them. You can't. So sometimes we have to overlook offense and allow God to just and give that particular offense to God. Give it to God and let God be the judge. And by the Holy Spirit, there is nothing that is not possible. God will give us the ability. If we go to Him and ask for help, He's always there to help us. So we have to be kind to each other. God's kindness is manifest in the complete salvation that comes through Christ. The salvation that comes through Christ shows the kindness of God to mankind. 1 Peter 2, 1 to 3. 1 Peter 2, 1 to 3. Hospital 2, 1 to 3. Sorry, we are moving very soon. And by the grace of God, all our machine will work perfectly well. Okay. So 1 Peter 2, 1, it says, so get rid of all evil behavior. Be done with all deceit, hypocrisy, jealousy, and all unkind speech. You see, all unkind speech, when we allow Christ and we make His word our bosom friend, and we allow His root to grow deep into us, and we are deeply rooted in the word of God, then through the Holy Spirit, God will make us to be able to be kind and don't put on all unnecessary things that are not giving glory to God. We don't put on the works of the flesh, because the works of the flesh, they are not giving glory to God. We can't reveal God's love through all that. So we have to make sure that we are kind to each other by the way we relate, by the way we answer, by the way we respond to everything that people does to us. So be kind to each other and tender hearted. That is Ephesians 4:32. We can read it later. You can write it down. So be kind to each other and tender hearted. You have to be kind to each other. Always, you know, always make sure that you are giving opportunity for people, because sometimes we too, we are not perfect. God is the one that is working on us to bring us to perfection. So we have to be kind to each other, considering the needs of others ahead of our need. Philippians 2:4. I will read it. Let each of you look out only for his own interest. No, let each of you look out only for his own interest, but also, I think I didn't write it very well. Philippians 2:4, don't look out only for your own interest, but take an interest in others too. Not only us. If you are like a parent feeding a child, you are feeding the household, and you are cooking that food, you see that food is always cook extra because you don't know, maybe visitors are coming. You don't know, maybe when your kids eat the food, they will eat it, you know, and they want to eat more. So always be kind. Be kind to each other. Make sure you make provision for yourself and think about others, because some other people, they may not have something to eat. Think about them. That's something, you know, our parents, the way they grow, they don't want you to waste food. They don't want you to waste food. They rather keep the leftover somewhere. And then if somebody is hungry, maybe the next day or in a few hours, they will warm it. So we have to be kind and tender-hearted to each other. Don't just cut somebody up and just scream the way we respond to each other, and don't show forth kindness. We have to make sure that we look out for other people's interest, not only us. In everything that we do, we have to look out for each other's interest. Love sacrificially. That's another way we can reveal and show forth the love of Christ. We have to love sacrificially. The best example of true sacrificial love is shown through Christ. He died on the cross. He died on the cross for us. However, He also accepts and loves us for who we are. For example, when parents provide food, when they provide the needs, or not only food, for their children, and are willing to give up their own needs to feed their household, they are showing forth kindness, and they are showing forth goodness. They are tender-hearted. They are not so rigid. I say, oh, if they don't eat, let them not eat. Oh, if they don't have clothes, me, I want to buy I need to buy this, I need to buy. Sometimes we close our eyes just to make sure that our kids get what they need. And we leave some stuff out and say, you know what, that one can be later. So those are some of the ways. You see, I visited a family and they were telling me the way they helped, they have been helping a certain family to help go and pick up their kids at school. That's a very good kindness, you know, to the way to show kindness. Because they saw the need that family need, they really need that help at that certain time. And they now make up, you know, they look into their own schedule and see how can we be able to help this family. Those are the things we should be able to do to each other. That's how we show forth love to each other. Maybe somebody, youth, maybe one of you have a car and somebody doesn't have a car and they don't have the means of, you know, calling Uber because Uber is a lot of money. So you can help each other and say, oh, I will pick you up. I'm going to the same route. I will drop you off here and then I will go to where I'm going. So those kindness, it goes a long way. We can do that for each other. So those are the things we have to love sacrificially. Sacrifice things as Christ sacrificed himself. He gave himself to us. So we also have to sacrifice for each other as we live this life, because we have been saved to serve. That's what the Bible says. We have been saved to serve other people, to serve each other. So Jesus Christ, he died for us on the cross. So we too, we have to lay down our lives, not by physical death, but love sacrificially, give sacrificially. Don't think about, oh, if I give everything, what will I spend tomorrow? God is able to take care of tomorrow. He said, do not worry about what to eat or what to wear, because God is the one that takes care of us. He's the one that takes care of us. Even if it has to come to the state that all the money you have, if you know that a certain person, one of your brethren, one of your family members needs that money, give it out. God is able to say, the more we give, the more we receive. As you give, God is able to replenish back more. So those are the things that we have to do sacrificially to each other. Number 4, overlook an offense. I mentioned it already. Overlook an offense. Proverbs 19:11. I will read it in AMPC. You may not go there. I will read it from here. Good sense makes a man restrain his anger. When we have good sense, it makes us restrain our anger. And it is his glory to overlook a transgression or an offense. You see, when we have a good sense, and that is the wisdom of God, it makes us to overlook, it makes us not to be angry. And it doesn't come just in a day. God is working on us every day, breaking us down, remolding us through his word. And as he worked on us, he will make sure that self, you know, because it is self, it is pride that makes us to say, oh, I can't give her. Let her go to somebody else. Let him go to somebody else. But God has saved us to serve each other. God has saved us to show forth love to each other. God has saved us. He gave us himself sacrificially. He provides for us. He provides for our needs. And all of us, you see the way we are looking nice, we are looking beautiful, the glory of God is showing forth on us. That is the hand of God upon our lives. And he is showing that for us to be able to show love, for us to be able to live sacrificially to each other, for us to be able to overlook an offense. If Christ can forgive us all our sins and he doesn't remember it no more, he cleaned that slate. When we say we confess it to him, when we say we give our lives to him, and he just cleaned. Do you know what we have been doing? Do you know the life we've been living? Because before he saved us, and he saved us, and he took away those sins. He took them away. It's not that he's going to take. He took them away. And he nailed them to the cross. And now, who are we that we are not going to live in love with each other? We are not going to, you know, reveal the love of Christ to each other. So we have to, when we think deeply of what Christ did for us, we will not have any reason to say, oh, me, I can't talk to that person because the way he or she acts. What is the one that worked on us and is still working on us, bringing us to his glory, shaping our life to his form? Now, God is able to work on that person too and make sure that he's taking it, because God loves everybody, even sinners. He doesn't want sinners to die in their sin. He loves everybody in this whole world. God meant it that we should have a close relationship with him because he's our maker. And he doesn't want us to live in sin. Even the people that are living in sin is because they don't have the knowledge of Christ. But by the grace of God, God will continue to make his gospel go all over so that he can draw those kind of souls to himself.
himself, because he wants every soul to come to him. He doesn't want any soul to perish and go to hell. He wants all of us to reign with him. So we have to overlook an offense. Number 5, forgiving one another, just as God, through Christ Jesus, has forgiven us. We too, sometimes we do stuff to people that we annoy them, we hurt them. It is not that we are perfect. So when people do something to us, we should always leave an allowance in our heart to forgive them. If Christ can forgive us our sins, he forgave us all our sins, and he doesn't remember them no more. So we have to be willing to forgive. That we can read it, Ephesians 4:32. We can write it down. Ephesians 4:32. Number 6, we speak the truth in love. Speak the truth in love. Ephesians 4:14 to 15. Let's read that, and then we'll read the story in the book of Luke when we finish that. Then we will no longer be immature like children. You know, children, thank God they are in their section now. It's not that they are immature, it's because of their level of their growth. They are growing, and as they grow, they will begin to mature and understand. We won't be tossed so and blown about by every wind of new doctrine. Of new teaching, we will not be influenced when people try to trick us with lies so clever they sound like the truth. Instead, we will speak the truth in love. Even if people are tricking us, even and you know that they are tricking you, you speak the truth to them in love, growing in every way more and more like Christ, because we are, that song says we want to be like Christ, who is the head of his body, the church. So we have to make sure that we speak the truth in love. Even if people make us so angry, you can calm yourself down. You know what? We are going through some questions yesterday during the question and answer. Somebody said, whenever she noticed that she's, you know, the anger, or she wants to get angry, she says, you will just walk and take a walk. And take a walk and start speaking, you know, in tongues. And that, she said, that really is helping her. We can always ask God for help. He's always there, so that we can be able to speak the truth in love. Because that is the way God wants us to do, to handle stuff with each other. He doesn't want us to just scream on each other and say, oh, you did this to me, and in anger. Because anger does not give, and anger doesn't give back to a good thing. When you get angry, you start saying stuff. After saying it, you now realize, oh, all those things. Anger will bring those stuff out. That's why we have to make sure that when we get angry, calm yourself down. Either you are talking to yourself and say, God, I need you. Help me to calm down. And all that. And then after calming down, you cannot handle that thing later. You can tell the person, okay, I will see. You can just walk away. Say, I will be right back. Don't just cut away and say, oh, just leave that person and just go. You can say, okay, I will be right back. Let me just, I'll be right back. Give me a few minutes. And you go. See? So you, and then you now come back. And then when you sit down, you'll be able to calm yourself and then undo that issue. Undo whatever offense it is. I want us to read the story in the book of Luke, chapter 4. We'll start reading from verse 7. I will give it all to you if you will worship me. The story that I want to go over is the Jesus, when Jesus Christ spoke with the Samaritan woman. I think it's John. Can you change it to John 4? Sorry, I think I wrote the wrong thing. When therefore the Lord knew how the Pharisees had heard that. It doesn't start from there. Let me. Jesus said unto her, the woman said unto him, sorry, let me just quickly move for you. Okay. Verse 7. There cometh a woman of Samaritan to draw water. Jesus said unto her, give me to drink, for his disciples were gone away unto the city to buy meat. Then said the woman of Samaria unto him, how is it that thou, being a Jew, ask drink of me,
which am a woman of Samaria, for the Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans. Jesus answered and said unto her, if thou knowest the gift of God, and who it is that saith to thee, give me to drink, thou wouldest have asked of him, and he would have given thee living water. Okay. So let's be reading that NLT. Jesus replied, if you only knew the gift God has asked for you, and who you are speaking to, you will ask me, and I will give you living water. But sir, you don't have a rope or a bucket, she said, and this well is very deep. Where will you get this living water? This is the woman asking. And besides, do you think you are greater than our ancestors, Jacob, who gave us this well? How can you offer better water than he and his sons and his animals enjoy? That was the woman's understanding. And besides, do you think, sorry, you are giving me, you are not, that's it. Jesus replied, anyone who drinks this water will soon become thirsty again. This water you are giving me the scripture. But those who drink the water I will give never be thirsty again. It becomes a fresh, bubbling spring within them, giving them eternal life. Please, sir, the woman said, give me this water that I will not be thirsty anymore. Then I never be thirsty again, and I won't have to come here to get water. Go and get your husband. Jesus told her, I don't have a husband. The woman replied, Jesus said, you are right. You don't have a husband. You see the way Jesus Christ handled it. For you have had 5 husbands, and you aren't even married to the man you are living with now. You certainly spoke the truth. He's handling, you see the way he's speaking, he's getting truth from her, and he's handling it in a very calm manner. Sir, the woman said, you must be a prophet, because you are telling me all these things that I've been doing. So tell me, why is it that you Jews insist that Jerusalem is the only place of worship? Why we Samaritans claim it is here at Mount Gerizim, where our ancestors worship? She's still talking about what she knows. Jesus replied, believe me, dear woman, the time is coming when it will no longer matter whether you worship the Father on this mountain or in Jerusalem. So that is telling us you can worship God anywhere. That's just a digression. You can sit down in your car, driving. You can go in your living room. You can go to your bedroom and start worshiping God. If it's not Sunday service, if it's not Bible study on Thursday, if you don't have any program on Saturday. So you can worship God anywhere. Now, that was there. You Samaritans know very little about the one you worship. Why we Jews know all about him? For salvation comes through the Jews. But the time is coming indeed. It is now, when true worshippers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth. The Father is looking for those who will worship him that way. I think that we can just finish it. The story that I want to bring, that I want us to, you know, look into in there is how Jesus Christ spoke in truth, in a calm manner, in a loving manner to this Samaritan woman. Even though Jesus Christ knew the life that she lived, but he handled it in a very calmly, kind, and speaking that truth to this woman in love. You see, the woman was opening up to him. So now, how do we handle? Maybe if you come across somebody that is living, you know, a life that is not so worthy in God's sight, how do we handle it? Do we show God's love, or we just look at them? You are a sinner, go. How do we want to win that soul to Christ? When we put that picture out there and look at them and look down on them. Before I gave my life to Christ, I used to be looking down on people. Especially if they are male and they are coming to me talking, I don't like it. I don't even want to go to that. But as Christ now came into my life, I now realize I can't do that. I can't just allow my flesh to just don't want to put people aside. I have to show forth love because he loves me. Despite all the sinful things that I've done, he saved my soul. You know, I was just there, just sobbing because I thought about myself. If Christ can save me, that was nothing. And he can make me to be somebody. He can make me to be something and bring forth and change my life and bring forth his love, show forth his love to me and working on me every day, molding me, breaking me down as a mold, as a mold. You know, when you put mold together and you start molding it, some people, they mold the sculpture and they finish molding that sculpture. You will just look at it. Oh, this is so pretty. That is the way God is working on us. And God can work on each and every one of us. And he's now making us to be in his form. So we can't look down on people. We have to make sure that we show forth the love of Christ to them and make them so that they too, they can come and enjoy the goodness of God that we enjoy, and enjoy the favor of God that we enjoy, and enjoy the mercy of God, the grace of God. Because the Bible says, it is not of him that willeth, nor of him that runneth, but of God that showeth forth his mercy. It's the mercy of God that we are enjoying every day. So we have to show forth the same mercy, the same love to other people. We have to speak the truth in love. Because some people, what they are doing, they want to be delivered. They don't know the way out to be delivered from anger. They don't know the way out to be delivered from sin. And now, when we show forth the love of Christ to them, it will not bring them to the household of Christ. And they too, they will experience that same love. And now think back. Oh, that life that I used to live before, I'm not supposed to be living. Because now, their eyes have been opened. And now they now realize what they did. I want us to read the story of that prodigal son. Sorry, Chuka. I can't see time anymore. Number 7, serve one another in love with humility. We'll read that story, the prodigal son. Serve one another. Just be looking for him for me before I get there. Serve one another in love with humility because we have been saved. So serve one another in humility. In humility, serve one another with humility because we have been saved to serve. I mentioned we have been saved to serve. Christ came and he came not to be served and to serve. We can write Mark 13:45 down for that. Mark 13:45 and then 2 Timothy 1:9. Serve one another with humility because we have been saved to serve. We serve one another, humbling ourselves, not puffing up. No proud. Mark 10:45 and then 1 Timothy 1:9. We can write it down because my time is up. Love your enemies. Pray for them. Pray for them. Pray for your enemies. Love them. Even the unlovable. Even the unlovable. You know, I used to, when I see people with tattoos on their body, I don't like it. But now, you know, when God was taking me through this series, you can't look down on them. Even though they put it on, you still have to love them. It is not that you are doing what they are doing. You love them because without you showing forth my love to them, you can't be able to bring them to me. Because people want to be loved, and I'm telling you. Some people are depressed. They are full of sadness. They don't see anything good about life. That's why you see some people, they get into depression, and they don't know how to handle it, and they end up killing themselves. You see, my daughter was telling me like last week that, Mommy, somebody told me that a high school student killed herself. I said, that's so sad. Is it real? She said, yes. I said, but that's a very sad story. You see, people want to be loved, I am telling you. People want to, they want us to show forth the love of Christ to them. They don't know the way out of the life they are living. And it is our responsibility. as redeemed children of God to show forth love. That story of the prodigal son, I'm going to end it. The boy went to the father. That is the story. That shows us the story of the father's love. And he went, not his elder brother, younger brother, requesting that, give me my inheritance with his father alive and give me the part of the wealth that is supposed to be given to me. And the father looked. The father didn't question him. He just put everything together and gave it to him. And he now went further to spend lavishly. He spent it because he thinks that that is what he can do to himself, to spend anyhow. After spending, everything finished. And he now looked at himself. He has to go and look for another way out. But he saw that that way out that he did for himself, it wasn't working. He now said, you know what? My father is still there. Why can't I just go back and go home and start suffering where I am? Let me go back to my father and ask him to forgive me. Even if he puts me somewhere, even with the animals, I would rather stay there. I know that is my father. My father can still give me a little bit, even if he's not giving me where I'm supposed to sit. And he now went back to the father, and you see the way the father showed true love. That father showed true love to that son, even though the son did what is so like an abomination to him. But he still loved his son, and he took his son back. Even the elder brother was thinking, but father, why are you doing this? He left and took all his own. Me, that I'm suffering, I'm doing everything for you, you are not doing this. He asked them to kill for a celebration. So the same way, God wants us to show forth his love to other people, no matter what they have done to us, because we have done a lot, and Christ forgave us our sin. So we have to be able to make sure that we show forth the love of Christ to other people. The story where of Jesus Christ feeds 5,000, that is John 6, 5-15. We will not go there. That's where Jesus Christ showed compassion. He looked at that crowd and thought about it. What are they going to eat? And he asked his disciples, why can't you, let's see how we can feed these people. And they brought 2 loaves of bread and 5 loaves of bread and 2 fishes. They brought 5 loaves and he blessed it and he was able to feed. And after that, you see they packed 12 baskets. See, that is the way God wants us to show compassion and love to others. He doesn't want us to just close our eyes and say, oh, this is the only thing that I have. I have to feed myself and my family. So I don't need to let them go elsewhere to go and look for something. Let's be compassionate. Even if they don't ask us, pack something and give it to somebody. You see the need of all of us here. You see, you try to allow God to open our eyes and see, oh, maybe those people, let me just pack this thing and give it to this family. It will go a long way. You don't know what you are doing, as God will put it in our heart. Even if it's a bottle of milk, it goes a long way to a family. So we have to look out for each other and show the love of Christ to each other. We have to be compassionate. We have to relate and live by demonstrating the marvelous fruit of the Spirit. That is Galatians 5:22-23. We have to be willing and ready to do all that. We have to make allowance for each other. Make allowance and know that, oh, he or she may not meant it that way. Maybe that is the way she thinks she can handle it. And maybe she doesn't meant it, you know, just for evil. Just make allowance that, oh, somebody can do this, and we don't just grab it and say, oh, he or she did that. But when you think deeply and examine ourselves, sometimes too, we may have done something like that before. So we have to make allowance for each other. And you have to make sure that we see things in God's point of view, not in our own view, because in our own view, sometimes we may be wrong. So we have to make sure that we see things in God's point of view. We should not be jealous because do not be jealous because nor boils over with jealousy. Because God's love is not jealous, as we just read in that 1 Corinthians. I'm going to read James 3:14-16. Don't go there, I will read it from there. NLT. But if you are bitterly jealous and there is selfish ambition in your heart, don't cover up the truth with boasting and lying. For jealousy and selfishness are not God's kind of wisdom. Such things are earthly, unspiritual, and demonic. For wherever there is jealousy and selfish ambition, there you will find disorder and evil of every kind. You see what the Bible is telling us. So we can't allow jealousy or anger or anything, even if it's one to crop up, comes up in us, we should just handle it and bring it to the knowledge and the obedience of Christ. And say, no, the Bible says I should live peacefully with all men as much as it is possible. God wants me to live at peace with everybody. He doesn't want me to act that way. So right away, even if you have to continuously, because let me tell you something. Sometimes things come up. You have to continuously be meditating and saying that word over and over until God brings that revelation to your heart that, oh, this is what it is. We have to continue saying that word in our heart, meditating on it, until you are able to now get, you know, a breakthrough that, oh, the Bible says, peace. I have to follow peace with this person. Each time that anger or jealousy is coming up, no, I can't do that. I have the mind of Christ. The mind of Christ is in me. God doesn't want me to act this way. So we continue to just remind ourselves by the word of God. And now in conclusion, there is nothing that we've done to deserve God's love. Honestly, there is nothing that each of you and I have done to deserve God's love. But He chooses to love us regardless of our sin, regardless of our shortcomings. He chose to love us. So my brothers and my sisters, remember that the love and the grace of God saved us, changed the foundation of our lives, and performed, as I read in that Colossians 2:9-20, that He performed a spiritual circumcision in our life. So now we have to have a new life that is based on Christ, not on us, not with our flesh. We have to live a life that is based on Christ. And then we now be able to relate and show forth the love of Christ to others. You see, we need to live and show love to each other through the power of the Holy Spirit that will enable us to do it. Because with our own power, we can't do it. But the Bible says we can do all things through Christ who has given us the strength. Ephesians 3:14-21. We can write it down. Chapter 3, verse 14-21. And then we can write down 1 John 4:7-16. That's, we read it in our text. 1 Timothy 4:12. Can we read that one? 1 Timothy 4:12. Let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example of the believers. You see, it's telling us to be an example. Let no one despise or think less of you because of your youth. What I want to take there is start from the B part. But be an example. Be a pattern for the believers in our speech, in conduct, in love, in faith, and in purity. So we have to make sure that we allow God, we allow Christ to show forth His love through us to other people, because that is how we can be able to live a peaceful life, to have a good health. Because if you live peacefully with all men, your heart will be peaceful. You will not have any stress all over yourself. And He wants us to live in our conduct, the way we respond, the way we relate to each other. He wants us to allow Him to live through us, to allow Him to talk through us, to allow Him to handle issues, to handle situations through us, and live a life that is pure in His sight. That is a life that is holy, because I know our God is holy. And by through His righteousness, He has made us to be holy too, because we are living on that righteousness that He has given to us, that He has imparted in our life. So my brothers and my sisters, we have to make sure that we live a life that will show forth Christ, that will show forth the love of Christ to other people. You see, that song, there are some songs that I want us to. You see that song, in Christ alone, I took a portion out of it. He said, this gift of love and righteousness. The gift of love and the righteousness that God has given to us. That alone should, when we understand it, give us the ability. It should give us the interest, give us that ability to say, oh, I need to love other people. Because if Christ can love me this way, me, a wretched sinner, but now, he now made me clean, he now redeemed me, he rescued me, and made me a new person, and took away all those sins, all those ladders that I used to live. And now, if he can do that for me, now, he has given me the ability, he shows forth his love to me. That love should drive us. That love should, make us to say, oh, I need to live in love. I need to show forth the love of Christ to other people. And that song, the love that Jesus has for us, is that love, it doesn't have any limit. He has unfailing love for us. His love is unfailing. It's always there, constantly. His steadfast love never ceases in our life. They are being renewed every day, every morning. He wakes us up as we sleep. We are not the one that wakes ourselves up. He wakes us up and gives us a new strength for each day. And we are able to lift up ourselves and say, oh, God, I thank you for another day. And you are able to move your feet and say, oh, you are going to take shower and get ready to go to work. See, is the love of Christ that has made us to be that way. So now, we have to show forth the love of Christ to other people. I want us to sing that song before I pray. The love that Jesus has for me is more than tongue can tell. His love is more than tongue can tell. His love is more than tongue can tell. The love that Jesus has for me.
You have just listened or viewed another teaching from the Orange Foursquare Church family. Please visit http://store.ftlw.org, where you can listen to other teachings freely, or you can purchase and download MP3s. Thanks and remain blessed.